eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History, a podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. My name is Eric Langhorst, and I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, a suburb of Kansas City. And you're listening to episode number 94, being recorded on June 20th, 2007. Well, we're continuing our series on our vacation in Chicago. My wife and I went to Chicago last week and spent 3 days. The last podcast was a focus on what we did on the first day in Chicago. And in day one, we basically went to Millennium Park and then went to a Cubs game in the evening. On day two, we basically did Chicago Museum of Science and Industry and then also attended a fun dinner-type theater at a place called Tommy Gunn's Garage. So first, let's talk a little bit about the museum we attended. We went to the Chicago Museum of Science and Industry, which is in the southern part of Chicago. And actually, I went to this museum once when I was in grade school, probably about third or fourth grade. And the thing that I remember the most about this museum was that we went to see a submarine, a German submarine, that was outside. And again, this was back in like the mid-1980s or so. But that really sticks out for me as far as a really cool experience from when we went to Chicago. And it's still a big draw today, but it's a much different draw. They've actually spent tens of millions of dollars, somewhere around $30 million, to basically restore the submarine and then also enclose it inside the museum. And so when we were talking about things that we wanted to do in Chicago, this was one of the things I definitely wanted to do because I had seen through a website and different books and things that it was a very nice new display, and I really wanted to check it out. So that was really one of the things that drew us in. Now, when you first come to the Chicago Museum of Science and Industry, you're going to have a lot of different options as far as admission prices. There's a general admission, but then they also have an IMAX, so you can add that to your cost of admission. Also, there is a $5 charge for the U-boat tour, the submarine tour, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but I would strongly encourage anyone that likes history to go ahead and add that to your admission price. And then they also have a temporary exhibit there called the CSI Experience, a crime scene investigation type exhibit. And so what my wife and I decided to do was to get general admission, the U-boat tour, and then also the CSI Experience. And so for the two of us, it was around $50. And to be honest, my wife and I thought it might have been a little bit expensive. You know, we'll kind of say up front that we didn't do every single thing inside the museum. We thought the museum was probably a little bit more suited towards people that had children. And if you have children, there's tons and tons of things to do. You know, I would have been happy just kind of seeing the submarine or the U-boat and then kind of, you know, maybe doing just a couple other things. But, you know, for $50, we spent basically, I think, about 3 or 4 hours there. So it actually wasn't that bad of a deal. But we kind of get spoiled when we go to Washington, D.C., and you go to the Smithsonian, and all those things are just basically free to anybody. So it was a little expensive, but not too bad. And again, there's tons of things to do in the museum, so maybe check it out online a little bit ahead of time and then kind of maybe plan a couple of the exhibits that you'd like to see. Well, the temporary exhibit at the Chicago Museum of Science and Industry right now is the CSI Experience, and it's basically created by the people that create CSI, the TV show. It actually incorporates a lot of the TV stars and different people like that, and so we're not like huge CSI fans. We watch it occasionally, but basically you learn about the science of crime scene investigation. So when you first come in, you have an intro film, and you're given a clipboard and a little sheet that has some clue-finding information on it, and there's three different crime scenes that you can get. And generally, when you come in, they give everybody in your party the same crime scene. So when my wife and I came in, we were given sheets for crime scene number one. Another family might come in after us, and they're given crime scene number two. So you could actually go through the exhibit if you paid multiple times and experience different things. They're all roughly the same, but you're actually looking at a different crime scene. So we watched a little intro film that talked a little bit about the science of crime scene investigation, and then you walk into a life size crime scene. So, for example, the one that we walked into was a living room, and there was a car that had come through, and there's a couch and a TV and like some scattered pizza boxes, and there's somebody inside the car that is dead. And so then your task on the first one is to write down as many details as possible. So you're basically like creating an evidence sheet, or, you know, writing down as much evidence as possible. Where are their footprints? Where's their blood splattered? Different things like that. Once you have that information, you then walk into several different labs. There's one that talks about analyzing fibers, where you look at different fibers under a microscope. And your sheet has a couple specific questions that you need to answer at each of those stations. There's also one on DNA matching. There's one on fingerprinting. There's one on shoe prints. There's one on blood splatters. And so you go through these several different stations, and you answer the specific questions, and you look at the evidence for your specific crime scene. So you keep going to, you know, where it talks about crime scene number one, if that's the crime scene you had. And it's kind of interesting. You get to, you know, actually do some hands-on type things. Where the fingerprint lab was, you actually had a person there that would take your fingerprints, and then you would compare it and see if you had a loop or a swirl, and then would basically tell you how common your fingerprint was. Jamie, my wife's fingerprint, was relatively common, but I found out that my fingerprint is basically one of, basically my fingerprint is on only 5% of the population. So I have a relatively rare fingerprint. So that was kind of neat to see. We thought that the exercise was interesting. At the end, you actually find out, you kind of put all the pieces together and find out who actually committed the crime. You watch a little video and it kind of tells you and stuff. You know, we thought it was interesting. We thought that it would probably appeal a great deal to teenagers or anybody that kind of has an inclination towards science. You know, we thought it was probably worth the money. We might not go through it a second time to do a different crime scene, but we thought it was relatively interesting. The thing that we really came for, and the thing that we were really the most interested in, was the German U-boat. And this is an incredible history story. I saw this as a grade schooler, but I really didn't understand the entire story. Basically, what happened was during World War II, the United States captured a German submarine and was able to capture the submarine before the Germans were able to blow it up. And so the United States captured the submarine, but inside the submarine it had, obviously, tons of information as far as, you know, secret details about plans. The Americans were then able to analyze their torpedoes. It also had the famous Enigma machine for coding, so we were able to use that to figure out codes in the future and stuff like that. So it's an incredible story that takes place in the Atlantic in 1944, where the United States captures this German submarine. It's basically brought back after the war and finds a place in Chicago at the museum. And for a long time, it was actually outside, and weather began deteriorating it. It got really beat up and stuff. And so they decided to restore the entire inside of the submarine and put it under a roof and then add a whole bunch of interactive displays. And so when you come into this room, you see this humongous submarine, and they've got kind of like some dramatic music, and they've got little like kind of light effects, so it looks a little bit like water kind of dancing on the submarine. And everybody that walks in is just like, wow, when they first see the submarine. And then you continue to kind of find out more about the history of the submarine as you walk through some exhibits that kind of lead you down to the bottom. And then when you get to the bottom, you have the option of taking the tour. So when you bought your ticket, you actually got a little timed entry, and that's when you actually get to go into the submarine, which was really worth the $5 that we spent. They did a lot of work on the inside. They've got like little sound effects. And so you find out a lot about the story of how we captured the submarine, which is an amazing tale in itself, by going into the submarine. So if you don't purchase it at the beginning, you do have a little kiosk next to the submarine where you can actually put in a credit card, or I think you actually have to have a credit card, or maybe it does take cash, but then you can buy a time ticket at the submarine as well. But I'd encourage you to go ahead and just do it when you buy your general admission, because once you see the submarine, you're definitely going to want to go inside and see what it's like. The other thing that's really neat about the exhibit is they've used quite a bit of technology to make it interactive. So when you get done going into the submarine, there's actually displays down on the floor around the sub itself, and one of them is a dive simulator. So there's places for two people to sit, and then you actually like have to steer and do different things as a voice is telling you, okay, we need to go down 10 feet, or we need to raise it up, we need to get the periscope up, and things like that. And I watched a couple people do it while I was in line, and then it just happened to be another person that was standing behind me in line did it with me, and we actually failed. We actually crashed the submarine. But as I watched three or four different groups do it, each group had a different scenario. It was very interactive, and it was very realistic. You had to actually do the correct things to actually make your submarine go up or go down and different things like that. So they had that exhibit. You could also see the Enigma machine, and you could actually try a code on the computer to try and see if you could decode it and how it actually worked, the code. So they had a lot of really neat interactive exhibits around that. So we would highly suggest going to the museum, if anything, just to see the U-boat. If you are going, definitely check out some of the transportation options. It's not along with a lot of the other museums up by downtown Chicago. It's kind of a little bit further south. So we would strongly encourage looking at the bus route. You can get a bus that will go directly down there. Or if you take the L, you'll have to get off one of the stations and then pick up one of the buses that will take you to the museum. And that's the option that we took. We did end up waiting for a bus for about a half an hour or so. So I would think your best option if you're in downtown Chicago would be to get some information about the bus routes. And they do have an express bus that goes from basically the loop down to the museum. And it goes at a relatively relegated pace, so you won't have to wait too long. But I would just take a bus directly to the museum. And then if you're going back to Chicago, just take a bus back up to the loop. Now, after we did the museum, we actually had dinner reservations for a place called Tommy Gunn's Garage, which is actually a dinner-type theater experience. And we actually found this in a little visitor guide about Chicago. And basically, you pay about $50 per person, and you get a really good meal. You get to choose between, like, lasagna. They had steak. My wife had salmon. And when you first come in, basically, it's like a 1920s Chicago speakeasy. And it's kind of cool. They give you like a little password that you're supposed to use. And when you get to the establishment, you actually have to give them the password. And then once you get the password, they allow you to come in. Everybody's dressed like a gangster, kind of Al Capone. All the women have like flapper dresses on and stuff like that. And when you first come in, you sit down and you eat. And there's an opportunity to buy drinks. You can get different types of appetizers and different things. So you enjoy a really good meal. And then the people that were actually waiting on you and serving you are the people that are performing in kind of a like a stage show that takes place on the stage. And so it's kind of like an interactive dinner theater. You get to watch the performance. They do a lot of 1920s type, you know, dancing and songs and things like that. Kind of a comedy routine mixed in. But then there's also quite a bit of crowd participation. So, for example, you know, they say, hey, this is a 1920 speakeasy. If we get raided by the police, everybody has to pretend like this is a church revival. And so, of course, you know, in the middle of the performance, a policeman comes in and everybody has to act like, you know, they're at a church revival and, you know, saying amen and all those kinds of things. So it's really fun. And then several times throughout the night, they actually pull people out of the audience and bring them on stage and do quite a bit of like a comedy routine with them and stuff like that. So it was really fun. The singing and the dancing was great. It was funny. You know, people had a great time. We actually bought our tickets about a month prior to the event, and actually when we were there, every table was full, and it was a Thursday evening. There were several different tour buses that came in, and then there were other, you know, just couples that were out. There were a couple teenagers that were there with their parents and stuff, so there were some people that were actually younger than 21 in the audience, and it was a really good time. You know, if you're going to do something in Chicago and see kind of a performance and do kind of a dinner thing, you know, we thought we got a really good value for our money. It was fun. We enjoyed it. We actually came very casually dressed. We'd actually been at the museum all day, and then we went to the performance. So we had shorts on and kind of, you know, polo shirt or things like that. There were people that kind of dressed up a little bit more because they were, you know, kind of expecting to go out for the evening and kind of a dinner theater and stuff. But it was a great atmosphere. I'd strongly urge people to check it out. We'll have a link on the show notes if you want to check out some more details on this performance. But we really had a great time. We were about two blocks away from the L train, so when we got done, walked over to the L, and then took the L up to downtown Chicago, and then took the train back to Tinley Park. So definitely check it out. You know, Chicago's not kind of known for its Al Capone history and the gangsters and stuff like that, so just kind of a neat way to kind of historically enjoy Chicago, have some fun, and just kind of hang out a little bit. All right, well, that was day number two of our Chicago trip. Definitely check out the show notes for any more information. And we'll also have some pictures up of the museum and Tommy Gunn's garage. And if you have any comments about this podcast, you can definitely go to the podcast that's online, the blog site, and actually post a comment to the blog. And that's at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Or you can send an email to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. So thanks again for listening, and stay tuned for our next podcast, which will be day three in Chicago, our final day in Chicago. And on day three, we did a couple of different things. We did the Magnificent Mile shopping, we did a great boat tour, and then we also did Sears Tower. So stay tuned for that podcast next. Thanks for listening. Good night.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.